And welcome to the Newest Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we are doing episode 41, aren't we there?
That's 41 already?
Yeah, that's crazy. We're doing, the reason why we're talking like this is because we're doing Goon, Last of the Enforcers.
Oh, yeah.
Part of our hockey movies that we got going on, right?
Yes, that's right.
Who was in this movie?
Sean. With two N's, William Scott.
William Scott. You might know him from the Mr. Woodcock series.
Yes, that's
there was tons of those movies.
That's what we'd know him from.
Okay. I cannot do this accent for this whole thing.
No, I cannot.
You remember from those Mr. Woodcock movies, right?
I thought there was only one.
There was only one. That's why, okay. That's the joke.
Okay.
There's only one, yes.
But he wasn't all those American pies.
I was saying Mr. Woodcock because remember we read that the director of I, Tonya directed Mr. Woodcock?
Yeah, that was very strange.
I just really wanted to see how many times I could say Woodcock in this episode.
Woodcock?
Okay. So we're on a good, great start so far, a couple minutes into this.
Yes.
So, So this stars Sean William Scott.
Yep. It's got.
And I'm not doing a Canadian accent unless it calls for it.
But I can't. Ahead. I can't seem to stop myself. it's got Allison Peel.
Pill. Yeah. You
Lee
might know
Shriver.
Her from the news. The newsroom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Liev Schreiber.
Yeah. You might know him. He used to be on the opposite arm of Naomi Watts. Ray Donovan, right? Donovan.
Yep.
He was in the X-Men movies.
He was Sabretooth. In one of them.
Yeah. One of them, yeah.
Now, there are a couple of people who repeat now. They were in...
You mean repeat offenders to our deuce?
Yes, it is. Gotcha. Especially hockey ones, nonetheless.
Hockey ones.
So, also, and we'll kind of circle back around to this, but Callum Keith Rennie, who, I can't remember what his character was named in the
That's
last
fine.
One. Some Palmsburg.
What was his character doing?
He was one who was the horn dog.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
He plays the owner of the team in this one.
Yes.
And also, Ira... Who is Doug, the main character? Ira is his little brother.
Yeah, right.
And Ira is actually played by David Patekow.
Oh, who's in Slapshot 2 as well.
Yeah, who's in Slapshot 2. He played Gordy Miller.
Yeah.
So, multiple...
Because you're a hockey player if your name is Gordy or Bobby. Right. I remember I said that.
Yeah.
All right, recycling jokes. Here we go. But before we drop this, don't you think maybe we should take a message?
I think we should.
Yeah, so after these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this?
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
I am, in the most sincerest of senses, disappointed in you.
It takes a powerful goddess like Connie, jam her arm down the monster's throat and kill it. Oh, I'm still tripping out over that. Even as a kid, I was like, I gotta find a girl like that. Every week, I get a new look of disappointment that I never thought I could get out of.
It's unimaginable. At 12 years old, you should not be watching this movie.
Obviously.
At 13, you should not be. 14, you shouldn't be. I'm not entirely sure even 17-year-olds should be watching this movie.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist. Watching this film again, I had all of this, like, little nerd glee with everything that kept
little history
up.
Doll yeah, popping
absolutely.
Up at you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you know, couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was going to be a
rough
movie.
How did you watch this shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
Okay, we're back. We're back. Why are you laughing? You laugh every time we do that.
I know.
Every time we take a little pause. So check them out. All right. So I think it's time to drop the deuce on
let's drop Goon, it.
Last of the Enforcers. Am I correct? Yes. Not a Goon 2, but...
Not Goon 2, just yeah. Goon Last of the Enforcers.
Goon, this movie was written by Jay What's-His-Bucket, who also directed the movie.
Yeah, Jay...
He's a big staple in the Judd Apatow. Wow.
Yes.
Because I often get Apatow and Nelson confused. They both have big nostrils.
What?
I'm joking. But he was in Undeclared. And yes. He was man loves woman, man searches woman, whatever, on FX.
Yes.
Yeah.
He also is in that, yes.
Man looking for woman.
Jay Baruch Attell.
Yes, Jay Baruch Attell. Yes.
Baruchel, that's what it is.
Whatever. I can never pronounce his last name.
Jay Baruchel, yeah.
You've seen him, kind of a Beasley-looking kid.
Yeah. He was also the voice of the main character in How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
He trained his own dragon then.
He does a good job.
Wrote and directed this movie. He also wrote the first movie?
Yes.
Yeah. And was in that as well. So, little side note.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, we open with kind of a sports center-y kind of news briefing. It's a show called Sports Desk.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's hosted by James Doothy.
James Doothy?
Doothy.
Okay, Toothy.
Doothy.
I've heard it both ways.
Who is played by, or Duthy, excuse me.
Yeah,
Duthy.
See, I've heard it all three ways now.
James Duthy, who is actually played by James Duthy.
Yeah.
And Chad Bailey.
Yes.
Played by TJ Miller.
Yeah.
And that will probably be the last that we refer to him because I found his parts profoundly unfunny.
T.J. Miller is probably the least funny thing about this movie.
Yeah, it seemed like they were trying to do the whole...
Best in show thing, kind of, in a way?
No, it was like they were trying to do...
The
Ocho from Dodgeball.
Oh, okay. Again, you know what? I've never seen Dodgeball.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And Jay Baruchel is in that, too.
Yeah. I watch highfalutin movies, you know?
Yeah. Oh no, Jay Baruchel's not in that.
Like Garbage
Pail
Kids.
That's Justin Long.
Yeah, Garbage Pail Kids.
Confused.
Yeah.
Ew, what?
I'm just joking. I don't watch that. I watch, you know, TCM classic, Turner classic movies like, An Affair to Remember, or A Streetcar Named Desire, or The Garbage Pail Kids. I'm joking.
So anyway, but it's kind of like they keep doing things like. They're trying to come up with a new tagline the whole time.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's like, sports desk.
And
we're all pink on the inside.
And can I say something about Sports Night? I don't know what channel Sports Night on. I'm assuming it's HBO because he's saying fuck a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming they're either bleeping that out or they're okay with him just continually...
It was probably the dumbest part
of the movie.
It made very little sense. But it was like that with, you know, they did it in Dodgeball, but it made more sense for that to be over the top and bizarre.
Yeah, so can we just say, like, when we get to part of TJ Miller's part, can we just say he talked?
I'm just going to say what it's relating. I don't. It's not even that important.
It's not even that important. In fact, this movie could have done without that.
I like that. You had these, like, sports center type things as kind of a way to deliver information.
Yeah, but then just keep it as a transition.
Yeah, and you can do something funny without having TJ Miller having to be in the mix.
Right.
I get it. Your friend put you in a movie and said, act weird.
Right. Yeah.
So
is
now...
Is it weird that I almost called them TJ Hooker?
Yes.
I don't know why.
Yes.
But go ahead.
So... they relate on this sports desk or whatever that the pros, there's a lockout going on in hockey. So everybody's focused on these like minor league kind of hockey teams.
Right.
So they are getting huge attention right now. They're being televised. They're going through this. So this is a great opportunity for these people to kind of get
recognition. You mean lockout? You mean like a strike or like... Like a lockout, like high school lockout.
That's a lock-in.
Oh, that's a lock-in. Yeah.
But basically where they can't play, they closed it down because of your finances or couldn't come up with a contractual agreement or something like
okay.
that. So the Highlanders, the Halifax Highlanders.
Highlanders? I thought there was only one. There's only one Highlander. Well,
there's one team, the Highlanders.
Yeah, Highlander. There's only one Highlander.
Well, no, you can have a bunch of Highlanders. Like, you have the Scottish Highlanders.
I thought there was only one Highlander.
No, well, there's that one guy, but there's that many immortals.
Let's just keep going. I'm not going to argue with you on this. You know.
Okay.
Highlander is a Highlander.
Yeah. So the Highlander, the Halifax Highlanders are going up against.
It's not delivery. It's Highlander. See how funny that was, T.J. Miller? Go ahead.
Oh, he did keep doing that, didn't he? Yeah. It's not delivery. It's sports desk.
Sports desk. Pink on the inside. Sports desk.
It's sports desk. It's sports desk.
Yeah, whatever.
They're going up against the Reading Wolf Dogs.
What's a wolf dog? Okay, like I was supposed to the Highlander thing, but what's a wolf dog?
It's a wolf dog.
No, a wolf dog is just a wolf.
No.
Yeah, it's just a wolf.
No. It's like a cross between a wolf and a dog.
Okay, keep going.
It's like a more wolfy kind of dog. out of Reading.
Is it Reading? Isn't it Reading? I'm getting mad. Is it Reading or Reading?
It's Reading.
It's Reading Rainbow. It's not Reading Rainbow.
I know it's spelled the same way, but it's
but
Reading.
But it's not Reading Rainbow.
Yes, it's... No, it's Reading Rainbow, but it's Reading.
It's not Reading... I'm pulling off my hockey gloves.
Oh, no, it's on!
Okay, go ahead.
The city is Reading.
Yes, the city is yes. Reading. Yeah.
So
and they're reading Reading wrong.
And they're reading in Reading.
Reading Reading wrong.
What? In the Halifax Highlander locker room, Ronnie Hortense, their coach, and like the assistant coach. Oh, Ronnie Hortense played by Kim Coates.
Yes. From Sons of Anarchy.
Yep. And several other movies too.
Yeah, Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah. And the owner, Hiram Kane, who, again, played by Callum Keith Rennie, name a new captain to the team with more writing on the... They said there's more writing on the team right now. This guy has bled blue and orange for the team. And you kind of... one of the characters, you see Xavier LaFlamme... Xavier LaFlamme. Or LaFlamme. Looks...
LaFlamme.
Yeah, it's Marc-Andre Grandin. He looks as though he's kind of like, he thinks maybe it might be him. Like, he
right.
wants to be a captain. But they named the new captain Doug the Thug Glatt.
Doug.
Who's played by Sean William Scott. He was the hero from the first movie.
Right, and also in Mr. Woodcock.
In Mr. Woodcock, mm-hmm. Correct.
Champ in that movie, man. Bring it back.
So, of course, LaFlamme looks disappointed. and Doug, I love Doug as a character. Like, he's goofy and sweet, but not to the point where he's like...
Or it's not annoying like in some Sean William Scott movies.
Yeah, he's just a sweet guy. You'd be like, aw.
There's another, like, Sean William Scott movie where he, like, plays a tennis coach.
Yes, yeah.
And I was kind of okay with him. It kind of reminds me of this character a little bit.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm okay with him. I don't like the whole, like, American Pie where he's like, yeah!
Yeah. I think he's got much more depth than that, but he gets pigeonholed into that a lot.
Yeah, he gets pigeonholed in something.
Because he was like that in Road Trip, too.
Yeah.
So... He goes, he thanks the team and tells them about a dream. I've never been a captain before, but I had a dream where I was a captain. I was a captain of a monkey ship.
Yeah.
And the monkeys, they tried to take the life jackets from each other and did this. And he's just going on about this.
This is Pierce Brosnan was there?
Yeah, this dream. This monkey ship dream.
Yeah, I had that same dream.
And he goes... Well,
except Daniel Craig was in it.
He goes,
and there was no monkey.
He goes, I hope I can be the captain of your dreams too. And I was like, oh, that's what he was getting at. And he goes, sincerely, Doug Glatt. And they're like, okay, Doug, wrap it up. So now we get out there to the game. Yeah. So LaFlamme, he makes a basically he makes a run on the goal. He's skating down there, and everybody who gets in their way, Doug is just taking them out and clearing the way for him. And so, I mean, they're doing a good job of getting down there. Sports Desk shows more of the game and gives some, like, extra expository highlights from the first movie, too. Like, showing the fight between Doug and Ross the Boss Ray,
yeah,
who was played by Liev Schreiber. And they also highlight that Anders Kane, Wyatt Russell, of the Wolf Dogs. So he's Wyatt Russell, who is the son of Kurt Russell.
Yes, Wyatt Russell is Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell's.
Yeah, he looks a lot son. Like Kurt Russell.
Yeah, and his hair looks like Goldie Hawn's.
I think he looks like Kurt Russell in It. Especially later on in the movie, he does.
Well, yeah, when he has a beard.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he has a beard like that. Primarily through this movie.
Yeah. And so they say in this highlight reel that Anders Kane of the Wolf Dogs is having an amazing season. And he also happens to be the son of Hiram Kane, who owns the opposing team, the Highlanders.
Oh, coincidence. That seems, yeah, you know, fun.
Now, at the same time, Ava, played by Allison Pill,
mm-hmm,
and Mary, her friend, played by, or no, her sister.
Was her sister?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Played by Elisha Cuthbert.
Yeah. From Happy Endings.
And 24.
And 24, yeah.
They're
look
celebrating.
Look who's the cougar now.
They're celebrating Mary's 30th birthday. But of course, it's awkward because it's where Ava works in the bar. And so while they're watching the game up on the televisions, she sees Doug, and Ava throws up into a pitcher, and she runs into a bathroom and realizes, oh shit, I'm pregnant.
Right.
So now, back at the game, the period starts, and Anders Kane immediately breaks Doug's stick, just like snaps his hockey stick in half.
Yeah.
And so
setting into motion that this guy's kind of not quite there.
Yeah. And so he's basically goading Doug into a fight, like, right off the bat. So,
you know,
Doug,
how
of
we
course,
first met too.
What?
No, I'm just joking. We didn't meet like that. I'm just joking with
snapping
you.
So Doug goes for it. He takes the bait. But Kane, like, headbutts him. And just starts just hammering him in the face. It's mm-hmm. brutal. And he actually savagely beats Doug. It's just bloody. It's unrelenting. He doesn't break Doug's arm, but he, like, messes up his shoulder really
right.
bad. So he has his arm in a sling. He's not supposed to be moving it later on. So now LaFlamme wants to go after Kane, but his teammates hold him back. And you see Anders kind of skate off. 2 months later, we kind of flash forward to the bar where everybody's kind of having a going away party for Doug.
Uh-huh.
The Highlanders, you know, they're kind of cheering Doug because he's retiring.
Right. Doctor said you won't be able to play hockey.
Yeah.
Ever again.
His arm is so messed up that if he were to throw a punch like that again, like he normally does, those heavy punches, he'll mess up his shoulder.
Right.
And that'll be a career ender.
Right. So go through therapy. Why can't you go through therapy?
Sometimes you just can't come back from it. You injure it bad enough
Okay. But he does in this movie.
What?
He comes back.
Yeah, he comes back.
I know.
But it's not all the way done. It's like if you do it again that you're going to end your career.
Okay.
Like, it's basically like, hey, it's cracked, and if you do it one more time, it's going to break.
Okay, crack is whack.
So, LaFlamme says he's tired, and he's not as fast as he used to be. And Doug says, yeah, well, I'm not as tough as I used to be. But he's retiring to take care of Ava and the baby they have on the way. And to do that, he's going to get a real a real job. He's going to be an insurance salesman.
Ah, yes, an insurance salesman. This reminded me of a song lyric by John Prine.
Yeah.
From the song Illegal Smile, where he says, I chased a rainbow down a one-way street dead end, and all my friends turned out to be insurance salesmen. That's the saddest and funniest line of any song, yeah. of it, like combined into one. I mean, Doug's kind of sad yeah. that he has to become this insurance salesman.
Yeah.
You could just see it in his face.
Yeah. He's... I think it's...
Like he's a lost puppy.
Yeah, it's like it's not the right time for him. Yeah. Like he's doing the right thing, but not in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So now on his first day at the insurance agency, he's greeted by Bob Forbes.
Bob Forbes at Cornwallis Insurance.
At Cornwallis Insurance. Mm-hmm. He's played by Jason Jones.
Go ahead and call us. We are Cornwallis. You were supposed to finish the slogan.
Sorry.
Yeah, everyone knows it.
So in the job, it turns out is a little seedy. He's like in the in the basement.
Yeah.
And there's like bums urinating outside sure. there, giving each other hand jobs.
That's what they say.
Yeah. So on and so forth.
Yeah.
Doug, whose spirit's getting a little crushed, he heads home and he sees all these cars and there's cars in the driveway. He doesn't know what's going on. He gets inside and turns out his mom is throwing them a surprise baby shower.
Oh.
And invited all these people.
And his mom's there, but his dad's not.
No, his dad, played by Eugene Levy.
Is not there.
Not there. Hmm. Not that I saw.
No. And it's not like Eugene Levy has never done a sequel. It's not like Eugene Levy's I'm not going to do sequels anymore.
It's not like
anymore.
He hasn't done the sequels with Sean William Scott.
Right.
I mean, come on, the American Pie movies.
Yeah, well, even the American Pie movies after all that, he was in them.
American Pie, Fart 5K.
Right. Serendipity 2. I know it's not out yet because I'm writing it in my head right now, but go ahead.
So now when Doug gets home.
Two star-crossed lovers.
So he gets home to the party, and he's kind of
Set
already
in
had
New
a...
York. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm writing.
He's already had a rough day. And his mom praises him for giving up hockey to have a stable life and to give her grandchildren because his brother Ira, who's gay, isn't going to give me any. And so, and of course, Ira's right there. And Ira in the first movie kind of was the catalyst.
I didn't know Doug's last name is Glass.
It's, yeah. Glatt?
Ira Glatt. Yeah. Oh, Glatt. That's the Canadian NPR.
Ira Glatt.
Ira Glatt.
and of course, Pat, who is Doug's friend, played by Jay Baruchel, shows up and starts just acting like an asshole, as he normally does. That's
right. This is where the fart comedy comes in a lot.
He's like, keeps humping Doug.
Which, sure, whatever.
Then later he walks over, and of course they're like, oh my God, you have an erection. And so they're just going on and on.
Pat
and
always
like,
has
he,
one.
He d- Pat always has erections.
Yeah, okay.
But Ava sends everyone off eventually and tells Doug she knows it's a big change, but, you know, they're in this together. They are a team. And so, you know, they'll get through this. She knows she knows he loves hockey, but it's a big change. They'll get through it. So Pat, the next day, takes Doug to, I think it was called the...
I have it written down right here. Fight Club on Ice. Is that what it's called?
Basically.
Yeah,
it's called like the Broken and Bruised League.
Oh, that's what it was called. Sponsored by Tyler Durden. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, it's a fighting competition between washed-up hockey brawlers, which I'm okay, kind of. I can
You're
get
okay
behind
with
that.
This?
If they're gonna be fighting anyway or brawling,
come on.
What? If we could watch boxing, why not watch that?
It's basically boxing on ice.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Just watch boxing.
Fantastic.
Why is it got to be on ice?
Why shouldn't it be?
Because that's hockey.
Yeah, but that's soccer. Soccer is just hockey.
I'm taking off my gloves again, Jeremy.
Oh. They're just brawling on ice, basically, in their gear. And, of course, they come up to the line with their gloves on, and they throw them off and just start fighting. So one person who shows up to this brawl is Ross the Boss Ray. So he's still tough.
Oh, Liev Schreiber.
Yep, Liev Schreiber's character. And he's kind of washed up after he got knocked out in the first movie. he's still tough, of course.
You know, like, the facial hair that Liev Schreiber has in this movie?
Yeah.
You know, not a lot of people can pull that off, but for some reason I'm okay with him looking like that.
Yeah.
Is that odd?
No.
Okay, thank you.
No. There's very few times that I'm like, Liev Schreiber does not look good. Like, he almost always, I'm like, damn, Liev Schreiber.
But even with that facial hair, that weird, stupid facial hair that I talked about in the last episode.
Yeah.
The hockey thing, whatever.
Oh, no, it works for him.
Yeah.
So he was this big brawler before, but now he's basically doing these little fights for, like, the $400 purse that they're trying to fight for. Oh. And he's doing ads for, like, the wig outlet that sponsors all of this.
Good for the wig outlet.
What?
I mean, the wig outlet has to advertise somewhere. Good for them.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, do it.
So as he brawls,
a lot of ex-hockey players need wigs. You know,
they might.
It's perfect.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You think there would be people advertising, like,
dentists?
Teeth? Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that would no wigs. Wigs seems why wigs? Right. Spot on. Whoever was in charge of PR, spot on.
Hey. If you run a league like that, you take about any advertiser you can get. So as he, of course, as Ross brawls, Doug is getting into it. Like, you see him wanting to throw the punches, and he's getting real excited. And at one point, like, his eyes are, like, tearing up because he just misses it.
Yeah.
And so we cut to another sports desk highlight.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
And they just basically say the Highlanders have 12 straight losses while the Wolfpack is doing incredibly well at this point.
I think you meant Wolf Dogs, not Wolf Pack.
Wolf Dogs, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that too.
I don't think I saw Zach Galifianakis skating on ice.
So now Ronnie and Hiram Kane are discussing the team. Turns out Kane bought the team to bring Anders in and to showcase him.
Right.
So he picked Doug to be the captain so that Anders would have the opportunity to take him on and basically take him out of the game. So Hiram calls Anders to his office to bring him onto the team.
Right.
And Anders seems like an okay guy at the moment. He seems a little weird, but, like,
yeah.
It's almost like his dad has done the...
Do you want a soda pop?
Yeah, he did say soda pop.
He says soda pop, right? And then he says, you want some sunflower seeds? Let me tell you, Canadians love sunflower seeds.
He goes, sunflower seeds are for winners.
Every Canadian I've ever met loves sunflower seeds.
Yeah. And Anders seems a little off.
Why?
Like,
why?
Anders seems a little off, almost to the point of, like, I think it's almost like one of those kids who's been conditioned to do something forever. And so their whole value is self, like, worth and value is around this. And they don't quite know how to interact.
Okay.
Like, with other people.
Yeah.
So it's almost like he's manipulated, almost like he's a little afraid of his dad. But, you know, he tells him he's going to bring him onto the team. Now, Doug, he gets home from watching the brawl, and Ava's asleep on the couch. She has a little gift for him.
Sure. Great gift.
Yeah, and he opens it up, and it's business cards.
Yeah, and these business cards are okay. Maybe I would like some raised print on them, Maybe I'm a stickler for business cards, but maybe a little...
They're his first business cards.
I'm just saying, maybe a little raised...
Is that eggshell?
Ooh, is that eggshell white?
Ooh.
Ooh, Doug, you got pale...
Gold embossing?
Gold embossing? I would have loved that.
At practice, they name a new team captain, Anders. So they name him and totally ignore LaFlamme. Of course, when they scrimmage...
I mean, he went overboard.
When they scrimmage, Anders and the other, like, new ringers who they brought on, like, they have some weird foreign guy who keeps handing out candy.
Sure.
And just bizarre. But the new ringers and Anders are just brutal. Like, they're injuring their own teammates.
Yeah.
So Doug watches video of the team, and he gets so mad at how they play that he starts practicing throwing some punches. And, of course, one hurts his right shoulder. So if he ever wants to get back in, you know, in shape, he's going to need some help. So he decides to take some drastic action.
Yeah.
So he goes to the forum where they have the Broken and Bruised League or whatever it's called, and goes and finds Ross Ray. So he wants to learn to fight with his left hand.
Did I mention that Liev Schreiber plays him? Yeah, I just wanted to make sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Not enough, but yes, you mentioned it. Yeah. So he wants to learn to fight with his left hand so that he can be a Highlander again and still be able to fight. Eventually, Ray agrees to help him. So now we have a montage of Doug training to fight with his left hand with Ross Ray.
It's not a cheesy montage.
No, it's a good montage. And it reminded me of, like, Rocky with, because they're training on ice, just throwing punches, and, like, at one point, he's got his arm, like, wrapped down so he can't use his right hand.
Yeah, maybe we got out of Rocky two different things, because I didn't know. That doesn't remind me of Rocky.
Really? And then you have Anders, who's training on...
cheap version of Rocky, yeah. But, yeah.
Okay.
What?
And then you have Anders training on, like nice equipment.
Yeah, I got you on that.
Ivan Drago.
That cross-cutting.
But that's what I mean. It's, oh, okay. You have the... Rocky versus Ivan Drago thing. And then, of course, we also see mixed in here that the Highlanders are just terrible, with only Anders being the one who scores. Like, he hogs the puck. And, of course, they also say Anders leads the league in penalty minutes because he's just savage on the ice.
Right.
He's just injuring people. Ross says the event is moving to the arena where they hold the Highlander games. So this might be his ticket back, because somebody might have the chance to see him and say, oh, look, he's back in it. He can be one of the Highlanders again. So on the way to dinner, and of course, at this point, Doug doesn't quite know if he wants to get... I mean, he wants to be back in it, but he doesn't know if Ava will let him or if it's even the right call. He's just thinking about it. On the way to dinner, they are heading past the bar, and they spot that everybody is inside the bar, all the other Highlanders are. So Ava asks if Doug wants to go in. Mary says she thinks it's a good idea because she's actually already eaten and is already kind of drunk.
Right. She probably ate a lot of ribs, too.
I eat ribs. I speak French Italian when I'm drunk.
Italian? Yeah, that's what it is.
So now, inside, Ava tells Mary something is going on with Doug. Because every time Doug's been staying out late, and every time he comes home, he smells like hot dogs because he's been taking Ross out for hot dogs after they train.
Ross, played by Liev Schreiber. You might remember him from the Scream movies.
Yes.
Cotton Weary. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure people know that that's Liev Schreiber in this movie.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So Doug goes and sits with his teammates, and they basically talk about, like, hey, if this fails, we're going to have to go back and get these normal jobs, we're going to have to do all of this, you know, it's over for us. And LaFlamme says, you know, this is all I've ever known. Which it goes back to, it's like Gordy Miller from the last movie. It's all he's ever known how
all
to
I've
do.
All I've ever known.
Yeah. And so I think that's when Doug is kind of like, you know what? I have to save my friends, too. This isn't just about me. I have to do what's right for the team.
Right. Teamwork.
Yeah. So he signs up for the Bruised and Battered League. Ah, it's Bruised and Battered.
Yeah, Bruised and Battered.
Bruised and Battered League. They changed the format, though, at the last minute.
Okay.
So it's like a five-on-five team brawl.
Yeah, it's like Battle Royale on ice.
Yeah, so first off, all five of the people, like, come out at each other, and everybody takes one of the other
one
ones
of the
out.
Other, yeah.
But then everybody else just starts taking each other on again.
Yeah, they well, the last man standing.
Yeah, basically it goes to last man standing.
Yeah, Tim Allen.
I suppose.
You suppose.
And then basically it gets down to Doug, who's knocking a bunch of people out.
Yeah.
And the other guy.
Yeah. Played by Leo Schreiber.
Yeah.
You might know him as Lyndon B. Johnson from The Butler. Oh, I'm sorry, Lee Daniels, The Butler.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And of course, basically they don't want to fight each other. But Ross is weak and is just kind of falling over, but he's going to fight to the bitter end. He starts just falling down and Doug shows mercy and holds him up and basically takes him to the locker room.
Yeah.
And people boo that because they're there for the violence. But Doug is compassionate.
This is a great moment. And Liev Schreiber is wonderful in this moment.
I love that. Because he still wants to fight to the bitter end, and when they come up to each other to get ready to fight, Ross says he like calls him Boyo or something like that, and he goes sir, and like Doug is very respectful to him, because Doug thinks that Ross is just great,
right?
So, in the locker room, Ross is coughing up blood. Doug wants to take him to see the doctors, but Ross says they'll just confirm that he has like some sort of a repetitive concussion syndrome.
They've been telling me that for 10 years.
Yeah, that basically his time could be up at any moment. If he takes the wrong kind of hit, he could just be done.
He's so good. I know I've been joking about Liev Schreiber, but I really do enjoy him in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that he was good as Storm King in My Little Pony, the movie, but he's even better in
this. You mean
this.
The one that just came out?
The one that just came out.
And you saw that?
Yes.
When did you see that?
Oh, you were sleeping. I saw it.
Good.
Yeah.
While I was watching while you were sleeping?
While you were watching while you were sleeping, I was watching My Little Pony. Yeah.
So back at the
but I'm not a brony, I just want you to know that.
Oh no, it's out there now. You are definitely a brony. So now at the Highlanders locker room, Anders gives this bizarre pep talk to the team.
Yeah, is he like on a monster drink? Is that what
he's
drinking?
Yeah, he like slams a monster drink.
I don't know how many of these. Like some sort of energy I've had drink. One of these things. It doesn't make you that bad. I mean, look, when we were doing this podcast, I've had like maybe six or seven of them before we did this. It's not going to drive me crazy. But keep going, Jeremy. We're fine.
Okay.
Yeah, keep going. I don't want any candy. Keep going.
Okay.
Okay.
So he starts like threatening them. Instead of like pepping them up, he's like, I will kill you if you don't get this right. And just freak it out. And then like the weird foreign guy who keeps offering candy, he's like, see, he gets it. He's laughing. No, no more candy. He's just like slapping
it
out of
his
hand.
This is a time for, this is a scene where Wyatt Russell shows his comic skills.
Wyatt Russell?
Wyatt Russell, what did I say?
Wyatt Russell.
Yeah, well, sure. I've heard it both ways. So, but he really does a fun job in this scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so.
Why, Wessel?
So they get on the ice, And Anders is just out of control. He's showboating. He's taking out his couple. He took out a couple of his own guys. He, like, plowed through them to be able to get the puck.
Yeah.
And try to get a shot on goal. Like, he is just nuts. He's showboating. He's fighting everybody. He's just done. And at one point, he started getting a little violent to the point where he actually ends up getting suspended. So the next day, Ronnie is talking to Hiram Kane and tells him that Anders is no team captain. Like, this kid is not cut out for this. Kane says, look, I saw Doug in the brawl. Maybe we should bring him back and see how it works out.
And since he won in the Hunger Games, right? Is that the Hunger Games works? One person left standing? I don't know. I've never watched these or read these books. Is it more Battle Royale?
I think they all fight each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're going to bring Doug back. And, of course, they say, well, it's not going to be awkward because Anders effectively put him down before, messed up his arm, screwed up his career. You know, it's going to be awkward. And Hiram Kane says he doesn't really care. Like, he thinks it'll be fun to bring him in there. So, Doug comes back. And, of course, the original team is happy to see him. And so, as they're heading on the ice, Anders tells Doug that he basically should not get too comfortable around here. This is his team.
Can we go back? Like, when he was training with Liev Schreiber's character, he was telling his wife he was at insurance festivals.
Yeah.
Which, those have to be a laugh riot, insurance festivals. Sure. What the hell did he tell his wife that he was doing when he went back to the hockey team? That he was at a hot dog convention? I mean, what did he tell her?
I don't know.
Like, how did she not, you know?
Yeah. I just
found that weird, though.
I think she was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt,
sure.
Yeah. So, Doug says Anders has, or Doug was like, you have my captain's C on your jersey. And Anders says, well, you basically gave it to me because you quit and you failed. So now it's mine. And Doug has this great line. It's very simple, but I liked it, where he says, captains don't take cheap shots. Captains don't try to end careers. And I was like, yeah, they don't, you know, they do the right thing. And Anders says he'll do whatever he has to for the team. Which is like a recurring theme. Doug says that in this movie. He said it in the first movie, too. I mean, like, it comes up over and over.
He said it in Dude, Where's My Car?
He did. He did. Now, during the scrimmage, Anders beats the shit out of his own teammates. He's just terrible. As they're scrimmaging, he's knocking him down.
Like, you slowly see him getting more enraged, becoming an animal.
Yeah, he's getting more and more like erratic all the time.
Yeah,
because I think it's because the whole thing with like what I was saying with like where they don't know how to interact. It's like those robo QBs, or like kids who were trained their entire life to be this cute quarterback. They never had fun. They never got to interact. They never got to enjoy anything. It was just drill after drill. And then when they finally get on their own, they just lose their marbles.
They don't know teamwork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's what I feel like is happening with him. Because you kind of get the sense his dad drilled all this into him and then turned him loose and he doesn't know how to do anything.
He doesn't know how to, you know, all he knows is how to eat sunflower seeds.
Yeah. So, Doug holds his own during the scrimmage, even though Anders is taking everybody else out. But Anders eventually slams Doug into the glass. Anders is ready to fight him, but Doug keeps his head and passes the puck for a goal.
Score!
Yeah, so he's kept his wits about him.
Yep.
Now, he goes to meet up with Eva. he's late getting there for the ultrasound.
Yes, that's where they're at, the ultrasound. Yeah.
So they're at the ultrasound.
Yeah.
Doug and Ava talk about him rejoining the Highlanders.
Yeah. He sees his favorite dinosaur.
Yeah, the Triceratops.
Triceratops.
So she says that he can rejoin the team, and she will support him.
Yes.
Because it was supposed to be, you know, we're a team, but you have been acting like this. But she goes, I know how important it is. I'll support you. But every time you go out there and fight, I get scared. I'm worried that something's going to happen to you. So I'll let you join again. You just have to promise me that you're not going to fight.
Oh, man. I thought she meant, like, not smell like hot dogs anymore.
I'm sure she would appreciate that, too.
Yeah, right?
But he kind of reluctantly agrees not to fight anymore. So he ends up leaving the insurance company. Bob Forbes, of course, is upset.
Yeah, okay.
And of course, Doug just doesn't look back. He just is out of there. So it's Doug's first game back. And he's being his normal sweet self, which inspires his teammates to be better, of course. They travel to Reading again to play the Wolf Dogs.
Oh.
Ow, ow, ow. And so Anders is playing again. He's off suspension, but against his old team this time. So yeah. They have this massive new player, and this guy is built like a mountain.
Oh, yeah. He's like a mountain, you know?
Yeah. The guy, he's giant Russian.
Oh, yeah.
Doug tries to check him, and the guy just kind of jukes out of the way, and Doug slams into the glass and kind of hurts his shoulder.
Kind of hurts his shoulder, you know, and he says, sorry.
So the Wolf Dogs come to Halifax, and so they lose that game.
Yeah.
But the Wolf Dogs then come to Halifax.
They're on the playoff bubble at this point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're getting close. So the Wolf Dogs come to Halifax. Doug isn't getting a chance to play in the next game after his arm got messed up in Reading. They send Anders out, who immediately proceeds to yell at and like this opposing player in the box, in the penalty box.
Yeah.
He goes over there and is just yelling at the guy and going nuts. So Doug decides, instead of like the next time they have a line change, instead of letting his teammate go out, he goes out and also is yelling at the guy at the box.
Like, why not?
Yeah, that's like they're competing to be captains.
They're competing, yeah.
And so they start kind of yelling at each other.
The dick swinging contest in a way, yeah.
They start yelling at each other, and the door opens, and they both fall in. So, like, it's Anders is there, and Doug is on top of him, trying to get up, and it looks like he's dry humping him.
Perhaps he was.
For quite a long time.
For quite a long time.
And very, pronounced.
Yeah, thrusts.
Thrusts, yes. Yeah. So,
and then they say, like, and don't forget.
Oh, yeah.
You can meet the Highlanders.
Yeah, they said, and the announcer goes, as a reminder, you can meet the Highlanders tonight after the game, if you still choose to do so.
Right after the dry humping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think at that point, they're both in the penalty box now. Yeah.
Can I say that was probably my biggest laugh in this movie?
Yeah.
It was probably that. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, at the after event, of course, everybody's getting pictures with the team and everything, but Anders asks why Doug is still there. He's like, why are you still here? I beat you, and I wanted you to leave. You know, like, you should be gone.
This is this guy's problem. Come on, teamwork.
Because he was told forever that he's going to be groomed for this.
Yeah.
He didn't earn any of it.
He didn't earn it.
So
he didn't earn it.
Yeah.
His dad gave him everything.
Yeah.
You know.
And he doesn't know how to.
He has, you know, the money to do that.
Yeah.
To build it.
You know, and he's like, he talked to him about, he appointed him captain.
Yeah, but he wants to be president. shit, but he, talk about Trump. Oh, God damn it.
But he can't get them together. All he can do is yell at them and threaten them. He doesn't know how to inspire them.
Are we still talking about Trump or the movie?
I'm not sure anymore.
Okay.
So Doug tries to walk away from Anders. Anders talks some shit, and Doug wants to hit him, but decides, you know what? I'm going to walk away. I promised. So he starts walking away, and Anders smashes a glass over his head.
Cheap shot.
Yeah, it is.
Like, that's always a cheap shot, I think.
Yeah. And so sports
desk. Saloon. That's like the Wild West. It's not hockey nowadays. You know what I mean?
I think I see less fighting now.
Yeah, me too. I see less fighting now, more in this movie than I really see when we go to hockey games.
I agree. Now, so sports desk questions Hiram Kane's abilities with the team. His son is going nuts. There was this brawl here. You know, the teammates are at each other's throats. He invited those, like, the bruised and battered league to come and play, to, like, fight each other. So they're questioning his, like, how good of an owner he is.
Yeah.
But through that, Ava sees that he was involved in this fight, and when he shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
So she is mad. She packs a bag for him, and basically, well, she packs this bag, and he goes, "Are you leaving?" And she's like, he's like, "Don't leave." And she's like, "I'm not going anywhere." And she hands him the bag, and he goes, "But this is my favorite kind of soup." Like, that she packed him soup.
He doesn't quite get it things right away, but he's not dumb. He's just kind of, and he's not slow.
No, he's just kind of
not quite there at the moment.
Yeah, he's almost naive. Clicks.
Yeah.
Like, earlier, there's a thing.
I don't think he's naive. I think he's just not, you know.
Earlier, like, his
signals get miscrossed a lot.
They were talking earlier about the, he was talking about his haircut, when he goes to get his haircut, and the lady goes, "I asked you what, you know, whether you thought that neck guard should be mandatory." And he goes, "Yes." And so it was like the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
But that's just kind of his character.
He's like a question behind.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a good way to. So now at Hiram Kane's office, he calls Anders in and tells him, "We're releasing your contract," which is cold, man. That's your own son.
Right.
Released his contract. And Anders
pulled up to that McDonald's, ordered one black coffee. That's cold.
So Anders is like in his dad's face. And for a minute, he's doing like the repeating game where he's like, "We're releasing your contract." He goes, "We're releasing your contract." And he just keeps repeating whatever his dad says.
Keeps repeating whatever his dad says. Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
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 Yep. Yep. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yep. Yep. Okay.
So, and of course, finally, Anders loses it, calls his dad a pussy, and then starts storming out and spits on one of his jerseys that he had up.
This is where he gets really, like, his eyes really
make him look crazy. They make him more pale than
before. Yeah, they make him more pale and make him look like a rabid dog.
This is where I think he looks like Kurt Russell in It.
Well, yeah.
Where he looks kind of like frazzled and, yeah.
Right.
Now, they follow it up with a scene where they're, like, talking at sports desk. And you see Anders watching clips, and he's kind of, like, crying. You see, like, little teardrops, but he still simultaneously looks pissed. And he's just losing it. Now, Doug doesn't show up to the game after he's been kicked out. He doesn't go to the game. LaFlamme inspires the team, and just basically, he steps up almost like the captain. He gets up. He tells them what they need to do. And then at the end, they're like, you hear somebody talking and they go, wow. So Ava calls Doug, who's been staying with Pat all this time.
Yeah.
And it turns out her water broke. He goes, that's okay. I'll go buy you another one. I'll go buy you another one at the store.
Again.
Yeah.
He's just not like putting two and two together real quick.
And she goes, no, like my water, like the baby is coming. When? He's just like losing it. And he says, you know what? I'm coming to get you. Or she goes, she said, Mary went to the store. I'm all alone. And he goes, no, you're not. I'm coming to get you. And so he heads out. And there's this kind of cool thing where they are doing the hockey game. The hockey game is going on. But then it cuts kind of like cross cuts with them giving birth to their daughter.
Yeah.
And that's where he is, because that's his team and that's where he's needed right then. So after their daughter is born, the Highlanders are all at the hospital.
Yeah, it's a nice sweet. I mean, this is all sweet. This is all very heart.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it.
And his teammates are all saying, you know, we're all going to be there for you. We're all going to do this. You know, if you ever need us, we have your backs. And so Ava tells Doug, all those guys, and she's kind of high from the
she's high as from the birthing balls, drugs. Jeremy.
She's like, I'm high as balls.
I'm high as balls.
But she says to Doug that he needs to go and play with the team again. They need him. And it's obvious by the fact that they showed up here. So in this kind of expository bit here, Anders resigns, or he resigns with the Wolf Dogs. So he's back with them again. Yeah. Looking extra crazy.
Which I'm like, how many times can you jump from one team to another without... Like,
if he's a good player, they'll pick him back up.
Yeah, I guess so.
But he says, they say, what do you want to say to your teammates you're going to be playing against, your former teammates? And he goes, they should all watch their backs. Like, he just is gone.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone. I mean, he's crazy at this point. And he does a good job playing it.
Yeah, he does. So now... Before the last game of the season, the team gets together and decide that they're going to name LaFlamme the new captain. So he's just honored. And there was like one bit from a previous game. The puck is going out. He's not fast enough to like zip around and get it anymore. So he basically slides across the ice and acts as like a barricade and stops it. Uses his body as a shield.
Yeah.
So now he gets up and he has this great speech. I think it's a great speech.
I think it's a great speech as well.
And so,
I mean, it's not like the speech from Miracle or
right.
But it's still it's a good speech that speaks to this movie as far as the topics that
agreed.
This movie should have been dealing with a little bit more, I think, but it deals with it pretty well.
Yeah.
With
this speech. And we don't do this often, but I want to play that speech.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to play the clip.
Okay, we can play it. Ready?
Yes.
I learned the difference between a moment and a career is evolution. Evolution. You will slow down. You will get old. Your body will fail you. So you evolve. You change your game. You do what you need to do with the time you got. If not, you go extinct. Evolve or go extinct. You ready to go extinct?
No, I'm not. No fucking way.
Are you fucking extinct?
No.
No.
No, absolutely not.
Well, I'm still here. I'm not ready to go fucking extinct. The Highlanders are still here.
Yeah, we
are. The fucking Highlanders are here. Yeah. Highlanders. Yeah. Highlanders. Highlanders.
I love that. I love that. Yeah.
So now on the ice, they send out Ross the Boss Ray, played by Kate and Leopold's very own Liev Schreiber.
Yeah. They know, Jeremy. You don't need to. I mean, people know who Liev Schreiber is.
Well, yeah. I mean,
Jesus. Okay, sure, whatever. Keep going.
So he's in the face-off with the big Russian guy. Actually, when they skate on the ice, he said, they go, which one do you want? And he goes, I'll take the big guy. Hell, you know what? I'll take them both. And so they get out on the ice. They're in the face-off. And they're like, hey, don't pick a fight. But, of course, he immediately starts finding things to fight him over.
Like right away. Like, you don't like Rush.
Yeah, he goes, I bet you don't even like Rush.
Oh, which is like gloves Canadian are off. No-no.
Yeah, he goes, gloves are off, and takes the gloves off to fight him then. And, of course, Ross Ray is a skilled fighter. And so the big guy, he manages to get a punch on him. The guy, he's big, but he's pretty slow. And so Ross is dodging a lot of it and just wails on him. Beats the living hell out of this guy.
Yeah.
And just leaves him bloodied on the ice. And then starts trying to pick a fight with Anders, too, to draw him out. But Anders just is sitting on the bench smiling at him and just looks nuts.
How do they get all this blood out of the ice? That's what I want to know.
Squeegees.
Squeegees? Okay. I just didn't know, you know. Maybe some DD7. Remember DD7?
Yes.
Remember those commercials?
Yes,
I do. Yeah, bringing that back.
The amount of blood in these fights in these movies is just copious. Like, I've never seen... I don't usually see anybody bleed as bad as
these
guys do.
You know, I kind of enjoy it in a weird way.
Visually appealing.
I don't mean to enjoy it. I just do.
Yeah, it's visually appealing.
Yeah.
It's very bright without necessarily being, like, gratuitously gory. So anyway... Anders makes a questionable goal, and LaFlamme evens it up. So, on the next play, Anders knocks him down. Like, it's just, like, back and forth. Anders gets out on the ice, and the crowd starts booing him.
Right.
Which is just sending him out of the edge, sending him over the edge, and you just see him... like staring, looking at everybody and just staring. And they're like, well.
It's not even like his acting. I feel like he's not even staring at them. He's like staring through people. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It was pretty intense.
Right.
And like you get the feeling of that he's losing it.
Right.
And so then he takes a shot with the puck aimed right at his father in his box that he's in. And... I mean, it hits the glass right, like, would have been on the father's face.
Right. Sending a message to his father.
And even a piece of glass from that flies off and cuts him, like, on the face. So, like, he means business.
Let's be fair. The father isn't, like, the greatest person either.
But I think that I think the father, like, I was really against Hiram Kane. And then I think, like, when he lets Anders go, you start to see that he's like, oh, God, I made a mistake.
Yeah, I agree.
And the crowd, or let's see, goes straight towards his dad's head. During the next play, Anders slams Ross into the glass, like, real bad, to the point where his head is bleeding. And, like, you see him bleeding from the nose, and you already know... It's dangerous for him with these concussions. So this could be bad. And everybody just wants to go after him. And you see the players all fighting, starting to fight each other. And Doug kind of gets this serene moment where he knows what he has to do. So he gets up on the ice, moves over there. And, of course, Ross tells him, who they're putting on the stretcher, tells him just... kick the crap out of him.
Yeah.
But Doug goes over there, and he's like, I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for somebody else. And just starts wailing on Anders. And they have a pretty good fight. I mean, it's pretty brutal.
Right. Like for a movie.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good fight.
And it's pretty action-packed for a hockey fight.
Right.
Like hockey.
Considering they're just in that one space.
Yeah, they're mostly just rough brawls, but like these are very choreographed good moves, and they have slow motion at points, and like Anders at one point hammer fists him in the face. I mean, it's just like it's great. And so Anders now is just messed up, and he's on his knees, he's kind of leaned against the glass, and Doug has him basically holding him up by his hair, and he draws back to hit him. And Anders is like taunting him and saying, "Do it, just do it. Like you know, we're gonna do this
because of his sponsor with Nike at that moment."
Yeah.
Okay, no.
Yeah. He goes, "Just do this. We're gonna do this forever." And ever,
right.
Each game, each match, we're
that
gonna
is
keep
the creepiest
that.
Moment yeah. in this movie. That because his eyes are just gone by that by that moment,
and he looks like a monster.
Yeah,
and he just keeps saying, "We're gonna do this forever and ever," and just freaking out. And Doug has this moment of clarity where he sees like his past and his present and his future. And, like, you see, like, a shot of him and Eva when, like, from the first movie. You see a shot of them.
I think so. I mean,
you see a shot of them together now. And then you see, like, a shot, like, this brief shot of him, like, with his daughter, who's older now, practicing throwing punches.
Probably, like, 10, 11, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Practicing throwing punches. And he just goes, "No. He's not going to do it." And he says he needs to, he starts going away. Anders keeps freaking out and just going on and on. He's like, "You know, you will not leave. You know, we're going to do this." And of course, everybody says, "You know, look out, you know, he's coming at you."
Yeah.
And then Doug realizes what he has to do. And he says, "I'll do whatever I have to for my team."
For my team.
Yeah. Except in his team in this case is his family.
Right.
So he's been very cautious this whole time not to use his right arm. Because all throughout the movie, we've been reminded that if he makes one of these hard hits with his right arm, his shoulder, it's going to be career ending. Like, that's done for him as a hockey player. And He said that this is for, you know, his team. And as Anders is trying to swing at him, he just lays this massive right hook on him.
Yeah.
And Anders goes down for the count, and you hear his shoulder just make this god-awful crunch, squishy crunch sound.
Oh, God, I hate that sound.
Yeah. So it's that's pretty much it for Doug.
Yeah, they take him out.
It's a career ender. So they escort Doug off the ice. But in this really kind of nice moment, Hiram comes out for Anders. Like, Hiram comes out to him, and he's like, "Son."
Yeah.
I thought it was nice because it's like...
It worked and it didn't.
Yeah.
For me.
Because it was... I think it was like him being like, "Look, this is my son," you know? I thought it was a nice moment.
Yeah.
And he goes, "I hate the sport, Dad." Like, he just basically says he hates hockey, which probably should have been the thing he said when he was a kid, but he was so desperate to, you know,
please his dad.
Yeah, probably. And his dad wanted him to do this so badly that neither of them talked about that.
Sunflower seeds.
Yeah. So now Doug, he's in the locker room. The doctor guy, cracking his arm, trying to put it back into place. He goes, "Oh, God, Doug, this is going to hurt. Don't hate me."
Yeah.
"I couldn't hate you, Billy." Like, he's just, like, the nicest guy, even though he's in pain.
Yeah, whenever he swings a hook in this movie, he's always like, "Sorry."
Yeah.
Like, he's the nicest guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he says, or you hear the game playing, and Doug gets up to go see the last play. So he gets up, he is watching them, and they're all functioning together. Like, they are all doing it under yeah. LaFlamme's leadership. You know, he's done what he did to help them. They're going to be fine. And so he knows, like, it's what he had to do.
Yeah, it's what he had to do.
And so he says goodbye to it all. He places his stick against the wall and then walks down the hallway.
Yep.
The end.
Fade to black.
Yep.
The end. You've been deuced.
You've been deuced.
All right. They've been deuced with Goon, Last of the Enforcers, and that's what we thought of it, but let's hear what other people thought of it, shall we, Jeremy?
I suppose.
Sawyer-4815163242.
Mm-hmm.
That was a mouthful. Gives it a 7 out of 10, says, surprisingly fun, although not as good as the original. With the few exceptions, sequels tend to not be as good as the original. That is the case here, sadly. However, the movie surprised me on how fun it is. I am a fan of the first Goon, which charmed me with its heart and crazy gore-filled fights. This movie continues in that tradition with a little less success than the first movie had. Sure, there are a few annoying parts, like T.J. Miller's cameo as a sports desk host,
yep.
but the overall chemistry of this cast remains, as does the brutal violence. I wasn't expecting much, and I found this movie to be quite enjoyable. So, that was that.
Yeah.
This person is called Schmeagle.
Schmeagle.
Schmeagle. Schmeagle says, 2 out of 10.
Says, precious.
No. Says, horrible. Says, I gave up after 45 minutes. Pointless, boring, and acting is bad all around. Felt like I was watching a school play. Surprisingly, there was a lot of somewhat famous actors, but they were not utilized. Everyone giving this play more than five, either did not watch it or faked. Well, you didn't watch it either, you stupid idiot. You only watched 45 minutes of it. This movie has a 6.5 rating, which is fake. Nothing would rate this low-budget
fake rating
that high. Fake rating, fake rating. So, Schmeagle is Donald Trump. He didn't like that. All right.
Well, okay. Is that review done? Are you all done with that?
Yeah, I'm done with that.
What a dumb review.
It's a dumb review.
You know, okay.
That's why I read it.
Here's exactly what he means. They didn't use T.J. Miller enough.
Probably.
Or Jay Baruchel.
Right, probably.
You can tell he was hoping.
I wanted the fart comedy.
He did. That person wanted fucking fart comedy, and this movie was more than that.
This movie needed less of the fart comedy.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
But okay, I don't think they had some of it. I think that's one thing this movie kind of suffers from. It was like
there was some suffering in this movie. Yes,
it was like I think the sweet moments in this movie. Like, the dramatic moments and the moments that had the best heart, I think, are phenomenal.
I think they outweigh...
Oh, my God.
I think I can look past the fart comedy.
Yeah.
Because the heartfelt stuff is done so well.
Yes.
Is that what you were going to say?
Exactly.
Because that's what I was thinking during this movie.
Exactly.
Having said that, oh, I could do less without fart comedy.
Yeah, I agree.
Because honestly... Jay, he's not what's his bucket that writes all the super bad and all that. Judd Apatow.
Yeah.
Judd Apatow can balance that really well.
Yeah.
On some things he can. Come on, super bad.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part, he makes his money off of that. Having said that, I feel like he was like, ha, I'm gonna put this in here.
Yeah.
This is gonna be funny.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you don't really need that because your heartfelt characters are worth it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it was like, I mean, hell, this movie, there were parts of it where I think it was like the whole part at the end with his, where he was seeing like himself with his kid, you know, like that glimpse and where he said no. And then he said, I'm doing this for my family.
Right.
I'm doing this for my team, meaning his family, and he messes up his arm, basically ending his hockey career.
Right.
for them and simultaneously his hockey team.
And that's why I said that. Yeah. That can outweigh. I can forgive this stuff over here.
When he says goodbye at the end and all that moment, all those moments, like I was like, oh my God.
Right.
Like I could, like it was, I was getting a little choked up by it.
I can forget all the stupid comedy that didn't work. Yeah. And there's some comedy that did. I'm not saying that there wasn't. I can forgive that because of what you're talking about. Having said that, that does bring this movie down a little bit and does make my rating at least a 5.5 or 6 on the scale. So, out of 10.
I would say like a 6, like a 6.5.
Yeah.
It's probably where I would go with it.
So speaking of 5, I think we got 5 questions, Jeremy.
We do. So the 5 questions... what do you think was the best part of this movie?
Well, I enjoyed Liev Schreiber. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed Sean William Scott. Is it Sean William Scott?
Yeah.
His character. I enjoyed the speech, that one speech at the end. But what really impressed me most of all was Wyatt Russell. For some reason, I thought he was, even though he's not the best not the best character, not the nicest character or the character you're rooting for. I thought he acted the best out of this movie because he had the more difficult part of the movie. So he was my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah. And I agree with all that. But just to add to that, I think it was this great, like, it was almost like co-team captains, and it was like you got to see Anders, who had all the technical stuff, and he was smart enough to know what was going on, and he was trained and bred for this, and you had Doug, who was not, and he was just kind of a lunk, you know, but he had the biggest heart,
right,
and the kind of the difference between them, and kind of that polarization of one who was all heart and one who was not. I thought that was great. Right. I love how they played with that.
Yeah, they did play with it a little bit. But this movie is about teamwork.
Yeah.
Bottom line is about teamwork.
Yeah.
It's about the teamwork that you find on and off the ice.
Yeah.
Not the field, because obviously this is hockey.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Reboot, continue, or cancel?
Part of me wants like a reboot and have him be the coach in a way or some aspect of it. But part of me also just says stop it.
I think stop.
Yeah.
Personally, because I thought about some of these characters
where I'm like, yeah, because if you're not going to have Liev Schreiber in it,
yeah,
which I don't think he would anyway, it's kind of pointless.
Part of me thought about that like, ooh, a third one. But then I thought like, I have to remember that, like, sometimes an ending to a movie shouldn't be sullied. And, like, I think that how he ended, where he got to say goodbye to it all on his terms.
On his terms only,
For his family, I think
it was good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would say cancel. Yeah. I think this one is a good ending to that.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Having said that, if they do something of it, I'd probably watch it.
Yeah. I'd check it out.
Yeah.
Do you think this one stands on its own?
No.
Agreed.
There was parts where I just was like, I don't know what. Like, I think there was stuff, like, inside jokes from the first movie that we might not work getting.
Mm-hmm.
And that might have felt flat to us because I've never seen the first one. You've seen the first one, but I think it was a long time ago.
I saw it once. Court from the Cinema PsyOps encouraged me to watch it.
Okay. Yeah. No, I don't think it does.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I think you really need to see.
And that's
the first
a good
one.
Thing because that means that, you know, you have these two movies that kind of can be back to back.
Yeah.
And you can watch them and have a full story.
Yeah, I think you need to watch the first one to get the full effect. And then finally,
I think we answered, like, would you watch the first one? And yeah, I would.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Does this movie make me want to watch the first one? Yes, it does make me want to watch. I think the heartfelt stuff makes me want to go. I bet if they did it, because I think they did it well here, I think they probably even did it better in the first one.
Oh, I'm sure.
I almost guarantee they probably did.
Yeah.
So I want to go back and get that. And I want to assume they probably dealt with more of the team. You know, what I mean? So, yeah.
Although, I think there were some definite heartful ones that beat out the first one on this one.
Oh, okay.
I personally think so. Not all of them, but some of them.
Okay.
And
was the gore better in the first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gore was there.
No, but was it better in the first one?
No.
Or was it just the same?
About the same.
Okay.
Some of your experience in two words.
My two words are teamwork works. Meaning that this movie showed that your team is your family and your family is your team and vice versa, and that they'll always be there for one another, you know, regardless of where they're at in life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You? I said all heart. Because
you said all fart?
Fart.
All fart? Okay, yeah.
All heart, because I think that Doug... God, like, I fail to think of, like, that many characters who have such a big heart as Doug Glatt.
And yet can kick someone's ass like that.
Yes, yeah. But also who's not, like, sometimes you get somebody who has a huge heart, but they're just goofy as shit. Like, nobody knows how to write them or whatever.
Look.
And he's goofy and
I
whatever.
I think that his, like, I'm going to be honest with you, Sean William Scott. Like, I'm not, like, the biggest fan of his, but, like, I have more appreciation when he does roles like this than when he plays, like, stupid characters, you know, like, nice. Dumb characters, like, Dude, Where's My Car? Or, like, when he's playing, like, I'm a hornball, you know what I mean?
I agree.
I like him when it's simple like this, when he has a little bit of anger towards him, but he's a sweet guy. He means well.
Yeah.
I think the movie, the tennis movie that I'm thinking of is, unfortunately, called Balls Out, where he's a janitor and he's like a tennis pro, and he helps, like, it's set in Nebraska.
Is it?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. Where he helps tennis kids in Nebraska.
What the fuck do we know about
tennis? What the fuck do we know about tennis in Nebraska?
Omaha, Nebraska.
Well, what the fuck do we know about tennis in Omaha, Nebraska? Not much. All right. What's going on? Jeremy, we got one more in the hockey.
Yes.
Series? The biggie. I think this is the biggie.
D2, the Mighty Ducks.
D2, the Mighty Ducks. So look forward to as many Emilio Estevez jokes as possible.
Yes.
With that one.
Indeed.
If you follow us on our Facebook page, you can do our listener's choice survey that we got going on.
Yes, we do have a listener's choice survey because after D2... we'll be doing our next listener's choice selection. So that'll be up there for a little bit. So if you're listening in the future, you know, if it's past.
Yes.
If it's
in the future.
If it's into February, you missed it.
If it's 2032 and you're listening to this in the future, let us know. I want to know, you time travelers.
Yeah, we should be on our. What season by then?
30, I don't. Whatever.
20 something season.
But people can find us on our Facebook wall, or they can find us where?
TheDeucePodcast.podbean.com.
He really is in My Little Pony movie. That's great.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
On Google, or
forgot about Kate
iTunes.
Leopold. Kate and Leopold. Yeah. There. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's a terrible movie. On iTunes, Stitcher.
Oh,
we're also on there. So, all those fun places, and of course our Facebook page.
Yeah. So, look for that. Meanwhile, remember that.
You want to actually do it this time?
I'm pointing at you. You can do it.
The sequel is king.
All right. Yesterday.
chase, never change, and it's 3 years later.